All right. Welcome to the month of July. May you prosper in this month in Jesus' name. Okay, let's pick an emphasis quickly. John chapter 13, beginning from verse number 21. John chapter 13, beginning from verse number 21. When Jesus as thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered him. Now, so what we are trying to investigate tonight are the entry points of Satan. Are you there? The Bible says that after that meal, Satan entered him. Before I began the research, I had to call someone who was in training to becoming a wizard that was arrested by Jesus Christ. And I asked him, in the training you attended, are you following? Because what we are trying to investigate, I don't know whether it has happened to you before, you were dealing with believers and then you found out that these guys are not believers. This is something else. And maybe those people that you were dealing with, that you discovered there was something off about them, maybe they are not even aware that Satan has taken over control of an aspect of their lives. And if you are in my position where you need to counsel with people almost always, every week you are in the dock trying to counsel with people and you meet with people with diverse kinds of challenges, you will need to come back home at some point and ask yourself, how do demons have access to the lives of men? Are you there? Bearing in mind that Satan is very strategic. Satan is very deliberate. Satan is very intentional. Satan is also very patient. Satan is very smart. If you call Satan a thief, indeed you are correct, he is a thief. If you call him a murderer, you are correct, he is a murderer. But never be tempted to call Satan a fool, because he's not. So the Bible says that after that dinner, Satan entered Judas Iscariot. And the driving force behind Judas Iscariot from the time of that dinner became Satan. Do you still remember the story of Jesus when he went for baptism, John the Baptist baptismal service, and all kinds of blessings came upon him? And after that baptism, the Bible reveals that the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. One significant thing that we see in the life of Jesus after his baptism by the rivers of Jordan is that he had a driving force. The Holy Ghost became what? His driving force. And it's at that point that I say to everybody I meet that, you know, I saw the parking lot and I saw the vehicles you parked there, you parked Toyota, Mercedes-Benz, a parked Range Rover. But you see, in this class, we are not concerned about what you drove. But we are concerned about what is driving you. Because Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was a controlling spirit that was in charge of his direction. That was a controlling spirit that was in charge of his choices. That was a controlling spirit that was in charge of the patterns that his life produced. So if we want to study the patterns that are produced by the lives of men, we will need to understand their driving force. If we cannot understand their driving force, then we cannot understand these people. And God, in his assignment that he gave us, he sent us to people. So we need to really understand people. And especially people that have come under the influence of Satan. What are the open doors that Satan exploits in order for him to gain control either over an aspect of somebody's life or to completely come into that position of total influence over the person's life? Now, I need to establish a few things doctrinally before we begin the campaign so that our investigation will be within the context of biblical truth. If we go to the book of Mark chapter 5, for instance, maybe we'll need to do that. Just some preliminary understanding to put us in the proper context to advance towards this investigation this evening. There is a need for us to look at Mark chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Are you there? And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, that Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Verse 9 is my emphasis. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." My name is Legion, for we are many. Now, one thing I'd like us to understand here. Are you still following? Please stay with me. One thing I'd like us to understand here is what we call the concept of the demonic gang. Now, the guy is saying that we are many. That's why my name is Legion. However, you will notice that even though there were many, it was only one guy that was speaking. And it will interest you to know that Legion is a military terminology. It's a Roman military terminology. It's the same meaning with the word garrison that is normally used in the Old Testament. So this is a Roman military terminology that talks about a military formation that consists of 2,000 to 12,000 soldiers. That means that in this one man was an abode for at least 2,000 spirits. Are you there? Because that's the only meaning that can justify the name Legion. Are you there? So we are talking about 2,000 demons. But even though there were about 2,000 demons in this man, only one demon was speaking. Only one demon was using his vocal cord to respond to Jesus. Are you there? So, this one demon that was using his vocal cord to respond to Jesus was the demon that was situated in the man's spirit. So, this is a typical example of what we call demonic possession. You know, I said I wanted us to do some little Bible study so that we can grab the context accurately before we begin our investigation. Okay? So the spirit that is situated in his human spirit is the spirit that is in charge of the domain. Your human spirit is a one-bedroom accommodation arrangement. Only one entity can possess your human spirit. It's just like, I don't know. Unfortunately, today I have no socks on because of the kind of shoe I'm wearing. But I'm a fan of socks. And if you have a socks, you cannot wear your socks on more than one leg. It's just an accommodation for one leg. No matter how you like the socks, it's only for, that's how your spirit is. It's only one entity that can possess your human spirit. It was designed as an accommodation for one entity. And it will still interest you to know that your spirit was not designed for demons to possess. Even though demons can possess it. But demons were not designed to be in your human spirit. It was designed to be a place where God will find comfort. Now, let me show you one of the evidences. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Do you notice that when this man saw Jesus, the man came before Jesus, bowed down before Jesus. He was still possessed. Oh, you're not following me. And worshiped Jesus. Now, I need to ask you a question quickly. Will Satan see Jesus in high level and bow down and worship him? That is of his own free will. Huh? He will only worship if he's compelled to do so. Now, what I'm trying to show you is that this guy, even though he was possessed, because the human spirit is not a chamber that is designed for demonic possession, the demonic possession could not have 100% impact on him for 24 hours. There were seasons of respite. And in those seasons, the guy will use his pure mind. He can respond according to the choices of his soul. So that was one of the moments where there was respite. And what did the man do? He went and what? He worshipped. But before the worship could finish, the demons began to speak through him again. You could see that the accommodation was not so suitable for Satan. Because he could not influence this man 24 hours in the day, 100%. The accommodation was not designed for him, even though he can have access to it. Are you there? So only one spirit can dwell in the abode of your human spirit. However, your soul is a vast island, and there are many demons that can find expression there. Your body is a vast island. There are many demons that can find expression there. So in all, this guy was warehousing at least 2,000 demons. So when we say demonic open doors, we may mean how demons can access your body. We may mean how demons can access your soul. Right? But for us that are believers, we do not mean how demons can access your spirit, because your spirit is already accommodated by the Holy Ghost. Do you get the context now? All right, but if we have time in the lecture, and if you are interested in further studies, I can come up with a lecture for one evening and show you how demons can access the spirit of an unbeliever. And so that when you go out for evangelism, the fact that you led the person to Christ is a very good breakthrough. But there are still other things that you need to do in order for the person to be swallowed up by the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. So I made a call to someone that was trained in Northern Ghana. You know, I told you about the Northern region of Ghana. And because I know witches in those places are educated, this guy was being, his dad was one of the strongest warlocks in his axis. I've forgotten the name of his village. It says about 1 hour from Bogatanga in Ghana. Those of you that know Ghana and people from Ghana can identify with the name of the location that I just mentioned. So he was being groomed to become a warlock. In fact, the reason why the spirits killed his father was because he eventually gave his life to Christ, and his father had vowed that he will be the successor of the shrine. In fact, the shrine requested for him, and he was being trained and was being, you know, brought in line. Then Jesus now arrested him, and he's my good friend, powerful intercessor, man of God. And I think he answered my call from Guinea today. He says in the training, the witchcraft training that they had, hallelujah. Okay, let me leave his own and read my own to you first. We'll end with his own disclosure. All right. First thing I need to say as we advance in this very complex teaching is that temptation. Are you with me? Let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, as I make some comments. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. They had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, the only legitimate, and I use my words very carefully, the only legitimate authority that Satan has around you is to bring temptation to you. So all through the life of a mortal being, he will have to keep up with what? Temptation. That's the only legitimate authority that Satan has, the ability to bring you temptation. And the reason for which God allows Satan to bring temptation to us is because temptation is the basis for our spiritual strength. As those temptations come, you have an opportunity to deploy the resources of the grace of God that has been bequeathed to you, and to exercise your faith, to exercise your spirit in prayer. And there are so many activities that you deploy from your arsenal when you are tempted. So there is a positive expectation that is in view for which Satan has the authority to tempt you. So the only legitimate authority that Satan has around your life, around your circumstances and your situations is to bring temptation to you. Are you still with me? Now notice something. Are you following me? Now notice something, all right? So God operates from within you. Satan operates from without you. Please help me appreciate your neighbor. God, he operates from within you. So you must have heard the scriptures that say that it is God that walks in us. So God's workshop is inside of you. Alright? It's just like, you know, I know you know where I pray in people and all of that. If Satan is hoping to bring an external attack to defeat us, I know you know the answer. That is not possible. Because if I'm weak, you are not weak. If I'm blind, you are not blind. So Satan doesn't have any possibility of subduing us if he's going to operate from outside. Every weapon that is shot from outside, it only hits and falls. So there is no true explanation, no true justification of the fact that a believer that warehouses God within him becomes subject to a temptation that is facilitated from without of him. Get that? You're not getting that. It's not possible. So the moment I stand with God, as long as I stand with God in that temptation, what God will do is that he will create a way of escape for me in that temptation. But you see, I will not be able to access God's way of escape for me if I am not in partnership with God in the temptation. The only way the temptation can fulfill its objective in my life is if at some point I partner with Satan. Can you see that? Oh, you're not following me. You know, a lot of people come to my office and say, oh, some will just come and cry first. Now, if you are not a secure man, someone that has found security in Christ, don't be a pastor. Because the moment that the person cries like that, you will say, my God. You even begin to lose confidence in God. No, it's a lie. Allow the person cry. Don't even comfort the person. Let the person finish crying. And then after the tear, don't stop the person from crying. No. Because the person needs to cry to discharge pressure. Are you there? So when they come, Allah, don't say anything. Keep quiet. When the person has discharged pressure, you see, for most, don't think you can even solve anybody's problem. Yet, don't even think so. Some people just need to, that cry, they are looking for a way to cry. So you allow them, give them the opportunity, don't even interfere, don't interrupt. Then they discharge it. So they now sit down. What is the problem? By the time you begin to analyze the problem, it's the same pattern. At some point, these people partnered with the devil. They began to accept the devil's tricks of mind bending, and they became aligned with the devil. So the devil's goal began to find expression in their life. But their arrangement is that God is seated on your inside. And the implication of that is that it is easier for you to be more intimate with God than anything, any other thing on the outside. It is possible for you to be more intimate with God than your husband because he's inside. Do you know that you can pray to God without talking? I know that. You're just talking to him. Meanwhile, if I don't talk, how can my wife know what I'm thinking? It means that it's easier for me to cultivate a relationship with God because he is inside of me than my wife that is without. Are you there? So, temptation comes from without, trying to bend your mind, which is the engine room of your soul, trying to bend your mind, trying to deceive you into seeing the logic behind his appearance and sympathizing with him. So please help me preach to your neighbor. I will not align with Satan. So if in the midst of the storm you decide to align with God, what God will do to you is that he is going to manifest the way of escape which in his wisdom he has safeguarded for you in that temptation. One other thing you are going to find in this scripture is that God is a regulator of temptation. He has your details in terms of your tensile strength capacity and your tensile stress capacity. And he will not allow you to be tempted much more than you have the capacity to contain, the capacity to bear. So God is the regulator of temptation. Have you listened to my message? I preached a message, the regulator. And I showed you, is it here? Not here. All right, so I will preach it to you. One of the things that God regulates, and I'm going to expound on it more deeply, is that he regulates temptation. That means God will not allow you to come the way of the kind of temptation that has the capacity to erode your faith, to cast doubt and anxiety upon your soul. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond the measure of your bearing capacity. And there is no teacher on earth that knows your bearing capacity, because we did not create you. The Bible says that he knoweth our frame, because he is the civil engineer that put you together. He knows what you can bear. He knows what you cannot bear. And just in case you are in a trial now, are you there? If you have not died, it means you can bear it. Are you dead? Huh? So, as you want to counsel people, just bear all those scriptures in mind. If they are not dead, it means they can what? Bear. The problem now is that this person has refused to align with God, so he did not see the way of escape. Did you get that? So, did you get my number one? The number one point is that the only legitimate authority that Satan has is to bring you temptation. And the reason why God will allow Satan to tempt you, because it's a mechanism through which you are going to acquire spiritual strength. If you have been a Christian long enough, you will know that one of the feathers that you need on your cap as a Christian is experience. Can you still remember the first time you went on evangelism to preach? Can you still remember it? Who taught you how to do evangelism? Do you still remember the person? Pastor Joseph? You don't remember who taught you? Who took you out first for evangelism? Do you remember? You don't. Okay, do you remember the day you were filled with the Holy Ghost? You remember who ministered to you? All right. So, there are two things that are difficult. If you forget one, there's no way you can forget the other. The first time you went out for evangelism, most of you never believed you could witness to anybody. You just felt, And then when you now began to minister, you now notice that the utterance that you were using, you even prayed for the sick and the person was healed. Now, so the person, do you know that that experience you had in winning a soul to Christ is a great empowerment? Even if the devil comes tomorrow and wants to deceive you that and you can't preach, would they believe? You have already done it before. Say, Oga, I have... This is what I do. Satan is not going to have a lot of ground in deceiving you out of evangelism because you have experience. Now, God wants to expose you to experience. That's the reason for strength. And that is why, once and again, he allows Satan to bring temptation your way. So temptation is not totally... If you understand God, it is not an avenue for you to be destroyed. God has an inside information, an inside strategy that will reveal to you the way of escape. If you find a way of escape from one temptation, then you have seen a major strategy through which God wants to be solving your problems. Is that clear? All right, so get it clearly. If Satan, you know, I said number one, that the only legitimate authority Satan has is the authority to bring temptation your way. And he is not even allowed to bring temptation in an open-ended fashion, because God is a regulator of temptation. And number two, God is a strategist that is willing to give you the wisdom on how not just to survive the temptation, but to escape from the temptation. Number two, if Satan can go beyond his original authority to tempt you, and he gets to a point where he brings oppression, where he brings possession, where he brings infestation, where he begins to implement mind bending, and he establishes a stronghold. If he ever does that in your life, it is because you cooperated with him. The only thing he can legitimately bring your way is temptation. If it proceeds beyond temptation and it becomes oppression, you cooperated with him. You used your own sovereign authority to allow him access into your space. Are you there? And one of the things that my friend that responded to my call today, because I didn't just want Bible knowledge, I want practical field experience from someone that was being trained to be a warlock to bring his own perspective. Then I compare it with what I got from Scripture. Are you there now? So what I'm teaching you now is a product of the research I've done in Scripture. One of the things that my friend said to me, in fact, he confirmed the fact that it is not possible for Satan to influence somebody beyond temptation. He can't take it beyond temptation into oppression, into possession, into infestation. It is not possible for him to take it beyond that if you do not deliberately align with him. So he also concurred on that point. So in view of the above, I would like us therefore to investigate those things that we do unknowingly that amounts to cooperating with Satan to establish his authority in our space. And when I'm speaking to believers and I'm talking about establishing his authority in our space, I mean his control over our soul and our bodies, as the case may be. If the control is over our soul, there are a few descriptions of the kinds of strongholds that Satan can build in that context. If the control he wants is over our body, I've found some people that demons live in their body. And they are never ever well. Just from one sickness, from another sickness. It's trying to survive. No, it's not medical. Demons have found a way into that body. And we need to cast them out. Alright? And you know one thing that about Jesus? Jesus taught us how to cast out devils. He didn't teach us how to call them back. Chief Donatus, have you learned that? Have you learned how to call them back? He only taught us how to cast out devils. Hallelujah. So what are those things that we do carelessly that have the potential of bringing us under the influence of demons? So if a demon spirit is in possession of someone's spirit man, we say that such a person is possessed. But if a demon spirit is controlling someone's mind, controlling someone's emotion, manipulating someone's will, if a demon spirit is controlling someone's ability to conceive children, if a demon spirit is controlling someone's ability to pass examinations, if a demon spirit is controlling someone's ability to eat, his appetite. I've seen that one before. The moment the person eats, the person vomits. Just put a bowl beside, because as he's eating, he's vomiting. But you will notice that the quantity the person will vomit is not exactly equal to what the person will eat. So it's the leftovers that are not vomited out that the body feeds on. I casted that spirit from that woman. And for 27 years, she's been living like that. She will eat and vomit with the hope that there will be a remnant and then her body will survive on the remnant. Are you there? Now, I know it's very... nothing about demons is clean. It's always out of sync. They are terrible entities. And that's why whenever you find them, you cast them out. And Jesus never taught us how to call them back. Okay, so, first thing here that you must understand, demons take advantage of appetites. That's the first thing you must know. Appetites. Are you with me? Has anybody come to you before and say, come see, and then you wanted to see, so that's why you ran there. Meanwhile, there was nothing. You see, there's an appetite to want to see. It is that appetite to want to see that is the reason for which people are hooked on pornography. Anytime there is an appetite, there is a demon that is strategically positioned to take advantage of appetite. The first ground we need to study, the first ground we need to really study about entry points into demonic activities are appetites. So if there is an appetite, then there is a bondage that is tied. There is a likely bondage that Satan can build around that appetite. So sleep. It's an appetite. Sex is an appetite. The desire to hear is an appetite. The desire to see is an appetite. The desire to eat is an appetite. Eating, sleeping, sex, hearing, seeing, and touching. Those are appetites. There's a desire to touch. May you not touch a strange, but there's a desire to touch. So Satan knows that there's a desire to see, and because of that, he makes displays of things that are unclean. And then when you begin to exercise that desire to see unclean things, then an appetite is developed along that line. This appetite that is developed by reason of use. The moment you exercise your power to see, and what the devil is displaying for you to see are things that are unclean, then the appetite to feast on these unclean things using your sight will begin to build. And the more you stay there, the bigger the appetite becomes. That's, are you there? So, when you find someone that has activated an appetite for pornography for 9 years, that's a big appetite. Alright? Now, it's not just the Holy Ghost that will help that person. The person needs to help himself also. As you are praying, as you cast out the spirit, are you with me? That spirit will still come back and tempt him and say, for 2 days, You have not gone to that website. So the guy needs to also, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, delete everything that links to that place. Are you there? So that he doesn't have ready access to that domain. He will do something about the place where he meets with those unclean things. He will delete it. So when you find that on Facebook, there's a new channel that has been opened on your Facebook page, and that channel carries products of darkness, you know what to do? Don't run away. Trace. Facebook has given us an opportunity to determine what we watch. Go there and do what? So that the appetite will not develop. Are you there? How do they call that? What should I click? Oh yeah. You, pastor, come. Tell them. Open your Facebook and show them. They don't know. They are not aware. Let us be sure that everybody knows how to sideline some channels today. Lest we have a group of people that are hooked on pornography and we are doing night vigil. It shouldn't get to that point. Just locate how to discontinue that channel. The pastor will help us. So how does Facebook work? And if you want to discontinue with the channel, what is it?
Whenever a channel pops up.
Is it possible for you to put that thing on the screen? I want to educate my people very well. Some of them will claim they don't. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now, let me show you what I noticed. We'll make announcements here and say, this is the flyer. We are going here. We have a crusade in Lafia. And it is from here to here. And you know, when we make these announcements, those things are on YouTube. The way we are making it. Are you following? The next day, in my inbox, you say, I heard you are going to fly. Lafia. What is the date? About at least 25 to 30 people will ask that question. So I have discovered that when we think people have understood something, there is a percentage, a very sizable percentage that don't even have a clue of what we're talking about. So, Pastor Tony, how do you disengage? Because in the last, I don't know, last month, I think some people went to pay Facebook money to pop up pornography. Now, when you see, don't run away. Just, Tony wants to teach us something. There's a place to. All right, so Tony.
When these pop-ups appear on your timeline, if you don't have the patience and the self-control to go to the details, you are going to see a button that has X. It means if you press it, you cancel that instantly. But okay. The issue is those items can still appear. So, right.
We don't just want only that page. We want that trend, that channel.
That channel.
Yeah, want to cut it off.
Where you see the channel name or whoever posted, you're going to see three buttons somewhere at the top right.
Okay, three buttons at the top right.
If you click on those buttons, there will be a drop down.
Okay.
It has a save post. If it's something useful, you can save it for subsequent view.
Okay.
Then we have the hide post option. We have the report post option.
Okay.
If you click on the report post option, a kind of survey dialogue will come up to show why are you reporting it. Is it inappropriate?
Does it have Tony, sexual?
All right.
So, can you use this
so
that the people will know? Because they are not aware of.
So, we have the report, the save post option there.
Yeah,
after
post.
The name of that person. Then the next one is to turn on notification. If you click on turn on notification, every post on that channel, you will receive the feed. But if you turn off notification, then nothing from that channel comes.
There's nothing like turn off notification.
We have turn on and then turn off. You can turn it off.
It's Oga. There's no turn off there. Okay. It's already turned off. All right. So there's turn off notification. Now, how many of you knew about this button before today? No, wait. That's not the right question. How many of you did not know about that button to turn off the... You see. So one of the easiest avenues through which Satan brings us into bondage is that he gives us free access to pornography on social media. In my own opinion, there is nothing demonic about social media. It's just a platform. A platform that we should use maximally to preach the gospel. This hall that I'm preaching in right now has a capacity of 4,500. And during the conference, we were able to stock it to 4,750. Are you there? And you would think that is big. Is that big? As at the time... Okay, Tony, can you check the views of yesterday's message? As at the time I was coming to church, that message had been watched by 21,000 people. If 21,000 people were to come here, where would they sit? So it means that we are reaching more people. Yeah? How many people have we reached on the yesterday evening's message?
As at this moment, we have 22,000 views.
So as at this moment, we already have 22,000 views. Making that platform a wider platform than anything we can think of capturing on ground in this location. Except we have an expansion plan or an overflow plan. So we have reached, I don't know how many people we reached on ground for the days, but we have reached 21,000 people just for the evening service. 22,283 people were reached from so far from yesterday's message. The one we don't know are the people that came, downloaded it, and are pushing it on other platforms. There's no way we can take inventory of that. I'm aware of the fact that there are TV stations worldwide that have applied to us asking for permission to use our content on their TV stations. I mean, so many TV stations. And we have given them this permission. But we cannot track the visibility on that because it is not within our space. So we had 22,000. And that means it's a good platform for us to share the gospel, share the good news. So many people have listened to our materials and they accepted Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. Some others were listening and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the time they were listening to those messages was not the time we preached them. All right, so we will not stop using Facebook, we will not stop using YouTube. We are even looking for more ways to harness the platform to reach more people. It is a platform and it is to be maximized. So, nothing wrong with you having your Facebook channel and all of that. Following the news, so many fake news comes into your channel. But you also have good news too. So stay on Facebook, okay? But remember those notifications that will help you escape the spirit of the age as they try to sell products to you. So the first area that we need to take note of is our appetites. All right? So as innocent as sight is, the desire to see, as innocent as it is, the devil has many traps that he builds around that corridor. As innocent as sleep. Okay, sleep is innocent. Is it not innocent? We walk all day and you become tired and then you sleep. Do you realize, because the Bible says that any one of us that knows what he ought to do and did not do it, to that person, that thing, that day was sin. So let's say you wanted to sleep because you were tired, you walked all day, and then the Holy Spirit now comes into your space and say, arise for prayer. If you yield to sleep that day, sleep was sin. Think about it. So in this regard, how many of us have been sinning? The strongholds of the enemy are built around our appetite. Paul says, I beat my body. I put it under subjection. I don't allow my body to well up in such a way that it eventually becomes a control station that Satan handles to control and to manipulate my life. I don't allow my sleep life. I don't allow my sex life. I don't allow my seeing life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So in all of those corridors, you are going to ensure that you beat your body and you put it in subjection so that Satan will not find a handle through which he manipulates your life. Now, someone might be saying, but eating is innocent. I've seen a lady before that must eat beans every single day. She was already as fat as a drum, you know. But I don't have a better way to put it. But forgive me, but that was how she was. She was round. She was no longer in control. Beans was in control. And she's not aware of the fact that it's a demon that has taken advantage of her appetite to enslave her. Satan can enslave you around any appetite at all. So the first ground is the ground of appetites. Are you following? So demons can now be hanging on your eyes because you were exposed to pornography. So they are hanging on your eyes. Demons are hanging on your body as weights, so that when God is calling you to pray, those demons will create an illusion of tiredness. And because you have not decided to beat your body, to discipline your body, so that your body will not be a corridor of control, that illusion of weight, you will yield to it and you drown in sleep. But if you decide to despise that weight, and in your tiredness, you just start speaking in tongues, you will find out that in 10 minutes, you are revived. So what exactly was that weight? It was an illusion. An illusion that was created using the doctrine that you are overly tired. And Satan uses that as a handle to manipulate you. Is there anybody in the room that has been struggling to have power with God in the night? And you are a victim of weights. Now, are you there? So you see, Satan likes to camp around your appetite. A nobleman came to see me in the office today. I saw him briefly yesterday and went home. And I was trying to find out about him in the spirit. And I found out that he has a deposit of the gift of prophecy. But it came, the prophecy he has is a parcel that the ribbon is still on. Do you know how, when we package gifts and we put ribbons on it, so beautiful. So that gift, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Has been delivered unto him, but he has a ribbon on it. It means he has not. So I gave him a prescription. If you can conquer in night prayers, you will sharpen this deposit, so you will profit from it. So there are a lot of bondages that the devil puts on us just because we have not yet mastered over our appetites. When you see some of us, our stomach is always straight. It's not. This is a doctrine in itself. That the fact that we have more resources doesn't translate to more food. This is not where our resources go. Are you there? Yes. We are becoming very powerful stakeholders in the things of the kingdom of God in terms of sacrifice and giving and all of that. This is not where it goes. Millions upon millions pass through our hands almost on a weekly basis. Either to meet real, genuine needs in the lives of people that are uncovered. Are you there? To attend to issues of the kingdom. I'm not talking about issues of the kingdom in this ministry. If I give here, I will not talk about it. I'm talking about give outside here. So there is no selfishness attached to that giving. So it's not as if I'm giving here so that we'll be going forward. No. I understand the kingdom of God. Even though I know that giving is giving. But if I give here, you will not hear about it. And the ones I give cannot enter into this basket. You know, the ushers carry one bucket around to collect. The type we give cannot enter that place. So most of the time, you will not see me partaking in that bucket only. Because we have given the type that cannot enter. And we don't wait for service before we give. Because we have the account details. So that we don't create a religion. Do you understand that? So the giving I'm talking about is the type I'm giving outside. So that the kingdom of God in other nations, other cities can be achieved. So, because of that, it's always like this. If we run this test now for all the men here, this one, you will find where Satan is hanging. You see? Give Satan no place. That's what the Bible says. And give Satan what? No place. As you begin to press into God, where is Pastor Gabe? Gabe? Not Gabe Itodo. The other Gabe. You were leading prayer one day and you made a statement that delivered me. But I will never tell you that statement. I will sit down. He's a wise man. That pastor is a wise man. All right, so the first corridor that we'll need to defend is the corridor of our appetites. The scripture for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Then in verse 26, Paul reveals his own example, the example of Paul. I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And one translation said, I do not shadow box, that is, just boxing shadows, hitting shadows. How do I do it? Next verse. I keep under my body. This is the fight against the appetites. By the time we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you will find Paul giving the prescription for spiritual warfare. How many of you have read it? He started by saying, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The question is that true? Is it true that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood at all? You are not following. I'm asking, is it true that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood at all? You still remember that struggle? You were trying to do 7 days fast, but you ended up doing 2.5. And you say you are not wrestling with flesh and blood. What Paul meant by we wrestle not against flesh and blood is that someone that has not yet mastered the fight against flesh and blood is not a candidate for spiritual warfare. He will fail in battle. Don't try it. Go and pass the first test first. How to keep your body what? Under. You know, I told you my story. You know my story. In fact, you even know me probably more than myself. And that's how I want it to be. I want to be an open book. So that the day you see me derailing, you will know that something has come on our pastor. The day you see me going into that, you say, we know this man. This move he's taking is not him. Let's go and arrest him. Let's send prayer to arrest him in the night. Let's send the Holy Ghost to arrest him. It's easier for you to be sincere so that the day you are going off, people that you are blessed will now deliver you. Are you following what I'm talking about? All right. Yes, these are complex issues. The Bible says that I keep my body under. You know, for 11 years in my career in public service, I was not at home. I don't know. Do we have a typical married man here? Give Pastor Joseph the mic. If you are a minister here, whenever you come for service, be ready to preach because I will be calling all of you to contribute. How long can you stay away from home and you'll be normal? Now, if you laugh, I will stop this aspect of keep the laughter in your stomach after service when you get to the parking lot. Release it. Pastor Joseph, how long can you stay away from home and be normal? And at what point will you know that you need your wife? Tell us.
Honestly.
If it didn't start with honestly, it would have.
It's an issue for me. Yes. Every time I leave the home,
okay.
I do the first day.
First day.
The second day.
Second day.
I can't wait to come back. It has happened too many times.
Should I tell you something? Are you with me? Okay. Okay, that's Pastor Joseph. Alphonsus, give up. Pastor Alphonsus. You remember Alphonsus, if he's on the stage believing in prayer, it's as if there is something that must be demolished. Alphonsus, we know the demolishing strength God has given you. How many days, how long can you stay away from your wife and be normal?
I've stayed away from her for up to 2 months.
2 months?
Yes.
Were you the same house? Wait. Don't. I'm not saying you are quarreling. Don't bring this. Don't bring that dimension. Now, it's not. You are not quarreling. What I'm talking about. Because the flesh can strengthen you to say, not that kind of strength I'm talking about. No quarrel. No, not. In fact, before you travel, you even took her to Modern Market and bought a dress for her first. And then you now travel the next day. How long can you be on that journey and be normal?
Like I said, I was away for 2 months, but after 2 months, I had to arrange for her to come.
To come. Okay.
Lagos.
Okay, 2 months.
Yes.
Pastor Chris, give. Pastor Chris is on your back, yeah? We'll take three examples, then I can say what. Pastor Chris, can you help us with those details? How long can you leave home and you are focused on the project? You are not distracted at all.
3 days.
3 days. Now, first of all, I would like you to understand that we are all different. But may you understand you. Don't understand how Pastor Chris operates. Understand how you operate. If you can afford it, go back within that allowance. If you cannot afford it, this is the prescription. I keep my body under. It means your body will stand up. How does this? This is wrestling. This. Have you seen wrestling before? And you take someone, you. Because if you don't hold him there, he will do like this. And he will. He will stand. Oh my God. So the first mastery that you must gain is the mastery of putting your body on. If I tell you that I was away from home for 11 years, will you believe me? People have heard my story. Yes. In these 11 years, I think, Chief, sometimes for 6 months I have not come. For 6 months I have not come. Not because we are doing crusade. We are walking. We are offshore. Taking inventory, fiscalization. And people will be calling. Are you there? Are you there? Hey. Many of my colleagues develop high blood pressure. There is a dimension of spiritual activity that you can deploy, that you can keep this body. What? Under. So that when Satan wants to use the circumstances in your home to expose you, I speak in parables. You keep it what? So the first skill that we must develop is to keep our bodies under and to bring it into subjection. To keep it under, you are still fighting. If you have brought it into subjection, the thing is quiet now. There is no appetite that you cannot bring to a point of quietness. No appetite. No appetite that you cannot make quiet. But remember, it's wrestling. It will not happen instantly. But I will tell you, I can give you prescriptions. But the way I'm seeing your face, you are already revolting. Hallelujah. Do you know that thing they call dry fasting? Have you tried it? How many of you have tried it? No, that's not the right question. How many of you have not tried dry fasting? All right, so there is a lot of benefit in dry fasting. That's the easiest way to break free from a habit. Dry fasting. For 24 hours, don't eat and don't drink. The first 24 hours will be as if you are going to die. There will be headache. Headache here, migraine like this. The day you go beyond that first 24 hours, are you with me? It will start becoming better. In the third day, your strength will come back to you. If you can go for 4 days and you break it, and when you are breaking it, don't eat pounded yam, just be taking liquid, your body will start feeding off the food and then you get back. Do you know, if you do a successful 3-day dry fasting, you can add at least 1 year to your life. It will increase your health, to increase your lifespan. I just checked a doctor that is in our midst. As I was saying that, he did like this. I said, okay. Are you there? If you do that and you can go beyond that threshold, the body will revolt. You say, hey, ho! You say, after 24 hours, it will now say, it will sleep. If you have ever experienced that before, that's how to keep your body under. I don't want to press that. You say, my problem is woman. We are all human beings, me and you. And the temptation I have in that area is more than you. But there's something called dry fasting. Have you seen somebody that knows how to talk? They say, see in head, see. The his ancestors are short people. Put the person on 7 days dry fasting. Then come and say, oh, how far now? The person will not be able, there will be no teeth, no utterance. Because the body is what? Is under. Satan cannot control me. Satan will not control me. Even when I miss my wife, Maybe I went on missions and then I missed my wife. If I come home, I will not behave as if I missed her. No. I will not just come and say, ah! No. I could see my kadeboro. Maranto see my yaka. Even in that, I practice self-control. I'm in charge. The body is not in charge. I beat what? My body. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' mighty name. All right, so let me run from this. So that's the first. So Satan builds strongholds around our appetites. So part of the first prayers that we are going to engage this evening, if there is anyone, and I've told you the golden rule of dry fasting. And if you are on drugs, maybe you are diabetic, so you need to take some drugs in the morning, or you are an ulcer patient, I'll tell you how to do it. An ulcer patient, you are on drugs, maybe on BP drugs, you need to take some drugs in the morning. Just limit your food. Limit, don't eat too much. Take just very small and continue that way. You need to take drugs because you are diabetic. Take the drug. Take little food. And then let us go. The only thing is that one, you need to do it for days. That thing that is making noise, to sleep. Satan is not that strong. If Satan enters into your domain and brings you to the point of oppression, it means that you exercise your sovereign authority in asking him to come. The only power, legitimate power that Satan has is the power to tempt you. Okay? Second domain, this domain. So that's the first one. The corridor around our appetites is an entry point of Satan. Then I'll do number two and I'll stop. Pressures in early childhood. Pressures in early childhood. Now, this is the game. Satan can enter when you are weakest. Satan can enter when you are most vulnerable. And the time of your greatest vulnerability is when you were in the womb. Then the next greatest time of vulnerability that you have is your early childhood. Are you there? Most of the challenges that people get to live with that forms patterns in their lives subsequently are secured during the time of their early childhood. Some even when they were in the womb. Especially, imagine a woman that was raped by robbers, by a gang, and then she became pregnant. Upon discovery of her pregnancy, because she's a Christian like me and you, she has to keep the pregnancy. The first thing is that she doesn't even know the father of the child she's carrying. If that person is not adequately supported, the person can start cursing that child while the child is in the womb. Are you following what I'm talking about? So that child is innocent. The child is not aware of what happened. But because of the circumstances around the child's birth, a lot of transactions that had created open doors have already taken place. So there's this spirit of resentment that the woman is having, and she's compelled by the laws of God, because God is pro-life. God is committed to the human project. And you'll find that in scripture, many illegitimate children that came to become the restorers of their cities and nations in times of trouble. So the child is innocent. It's just the circumstances around the child's manifestation. Because it is God that gives children. And in that situation, God still released a child. It means that God is seeing something beyond the situation. That this child is an answer to something. So he desperately needs to be manifested. Despite the circumstances and the situation leading to the conception. But if it's not adequately handled, it can secure an open door to the enemy. And also, your early childhood, you are very vulnerable. I'm dealing with a case now. From... the person is not in this country, so don't even try to use your brain. I say, this is matter. The person is not a Nigerian. So I'm dealing with a case. And from all indications, I can conclude safely, I can conclude that the lady's mom is a witch. I can conclude that. And part of the assignments that woman has been given is to ensure that she demoralizes that lady completely. So by the time I met that lady in that nation, the lady already felt that nothing good could come. I mean, I'm talking about a very intelligent young lady. Well, because of what has gone down in the soul, she was carrying a weight of depression that was unthinkable. How old was this lady? I think at the time I met her, she was like 31 or so. But she was carrying the weight of the world on her head. And those were influences that came over her life and began to influence her psyche from when she was a little baby. And the mother will not allow an opportunity go by where she will not tell her that she's a mistake. She's just a terrible menace to the world, that she's a problem. And this lady, because of her intelligence, left home, started a business, and became successful in the business. Successful at the business. The mother will go and talk to the customers and say, you are dealing with a mad person. Are you not aware of this? So it was in that condition that I met this lady. She was disarmed by weapons that could not be seen. And the weight that she carried was a weight that only Satan could bring. Hallelujah. The tactic is that Satan will come when you are most vulnerable. I'm not going to press beyond that point. I'm going to stop here so that we can pray for one another. So while I labor today, Chief Donatus, you are the one I saw that led us in the prayers. So come, let me show you the prayers to pray. Chief Donatus, arm yourself, equip yourself with a microphone. So the first prayer point is about the corridor of our appetites. Paul says, I beat my body. I put it in subjection. So that when I preach to others, I myself will not become a castaway. I don't want to become a castaway after preaching and bringing sweet expositions that have strengthened the faith of many people. I don't want to be a castaway. And for all those that have entered into the economy of that distraction in doctrine called the hyper-grace preaching, I will want to quietly call your attention to the scripture that reveals that it is possible to become a castaway after preaching the gospel on the highest platforms of the earth. So, the second one is for people that came under demonic control on the account of the pressures that they were exposed to when they were infants. So some people grew with those challenges, grew with those weaknesses. Some people grew with those pressures. They grew to know depression as a way of life. They grew to know rejection as a way of life. And they have come to accept what God has not bequeathed to them. So, lead us.
Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and let's begin to appreciate the name of the Lord for the word, for the insight. This precise. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you already. Your help is here already. Your help is available already. Lord, God is more willing to help than we are. He's more eager to intervene in our lives. He's more eager to give us victory than we are. There is already a last sign that is willing. His help is available. His help is available. Can you thank him? Can you thank him? Because his word is true. Does not my word do you good? The word is about to do us good. His word will do you good. His word will liberate. The word is about to renovate your life. It's bringing renovation. It will reset your life. It will deactivate the programs of devil over your life. And a new program is about to be initiated. A program of limitless possibilities in your life in the name of Jesus. Kabarate kete kene kamuras. Ide kete 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 kete. Atote barite kamata. Aibata kabadaba kabadaba. Aradaba baba kabas. Aitakaba baba baba taba. Ite kete kete kete. Ite kete kete kete. Ite kete kete kete. Ite kete kete. Shababata. Epatapa. Pratekema etaduata shaidekea iletena panda palide kopata aiskotoria iletedebeka ilapomataya izeketeke brakila. Deliverance is coming already. Deliverance is here already at the instance of the preaching of the word of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because it anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive. Whoa, depression, depression. Help is here. Help is here. Help is available. In the name of Jesus, come Pantelia, Lito Gabata, Prateke Patua, Eleteke Teke, Iteke Teke, Iteke Teke. Thank you, Lord. For the apostle say, I bring my body. So it's not somebody from outside that will come and bring your body. It is you yourself that will consciously bring your body under subjection of the will of God. Bring your body under subjection so that the purpose of God can prosper in your life. You're going to pray over your life and over your destiny. You're going to say every appetite, everything at all that seeks to stop, to usurp authority over the word of God, over what God has spoken concerning my life, I'll bring you under subjection. Mind, stay straight. Stay under the authority of the word of God.
My body stays under the authority of the word of God. Appetite for food, appetite for sex, will frustrate iniquity. Come under frustration. Appetite for sleep will deny you sleep. We say no to you. We say no to you. From henceforth, body, my mind, my senses, my eyes, my ears, the senses, the pleasure to touch, the pleasure to see, the appetite to touch, the appetite to see, the appetite to eat, the appetite to hear, and the appetite to sleep. I bring you under suggestion. I speak to you, my body. I speak to you, my body. Reset. Reset. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, let on us, let on us. I told a young man some time ago, I said, you're not qualified to have an Android phone. Shut that phone, go and sell it or keep it away. Go and buy touchlight. Since your problem is pornography, how do you do it? Is it on his phone? Keep that phone aside. Go and buy touchlight. You're not supposed to, you're not qualified until after 6 months. Starve that appetite to death. Starve it to death. Don't look at phone, don't watch any television. Be around brethren. You should only be alone when you are studying the scriptures and you are praying. Don't be found alone. And after a period, his strength was revived, and that authority of the soul was brought under subjection. That rebellion of the soul over his life
was tamed. Some of us are going to receive grace to go and put certain things out of our reach. Hallelujah. Disconnect from certain association. Cut off from that lady that is tamed, that anytime you looked at her, you feel cut off from her. Delete her number from your phone. And thereby, the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. The last prayer point. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you look for what just appreciate him? He's doing something already. He's doing something already. He's doing something already. Kala tiki nea. Tona katanda. Ite tiki. Suka balata. Kala talita. Elote kende kala siza. Yido kabara. Atatata. Atatatata. Atatata. Atatatata. Atatata. Atatatata. Atatata. Atatatata. Atatata. 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 Apostle said here that there's something that you need to do deliberately to partnership with grace. If not, you receive the grace, but you will frustrate it. There's something you need to do to enhance grace, to help grace. One of the things I'm going to pray tonight is that the Lord will give you grace in the next season. He will give you grace in the next season. Surely the grace will come to wake you up. If you pray and ask the Lord to wake you up by 12, once it is 12, either an angel will tap you or something will happen and you open your eyes. But the Holy Ghost will not come and open your mouth and put prayer instead of you. You will be the one that will open your mouth and you will begin to wrestle with sleep. You will begin to wrestle with heaviness. And after a while, that is taken away. Until you do that consistently, before the appetite of sleep will be brought under subjection, you have to train your soul to submit to the will of the will of God and to submit to the Spirit of God on your inside. If you don't do that, you only ask and pray that God should take away the appetite of sleep. It will not work. You will have to partnership with the grace to stay in the night. Hallelujah. Can you say, Lord, help me? Can you say, Lord, help me? Help me, help me, help me. Give me the grace and give me the discipline to partnership with grace, to partnership with power that you have released on my inside, so I can train my soul, so I can train my eyes, so I can train my ears, so I can train whatever it is that is standing against your grace and your will in my life. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth right now. Hey, Kalabasea, Parada Bakabuata, Selekedekedekedea, Zada, 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 Akaba, Akaba. Day, 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 day.
Receive the ability. Receive the ability from the Lord. Receive the ability on this altar. Receive the ability in this house to train your soul, to train your appetite, your spirit appetite in the night, to train your body, to train your body not to be sleepy all the night, to train your body not to be sleepy all the night, to train your body to know how to respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Let your body and the Spirit, let your body be Spirit compliant. Let it be Spirit compliant. Let it be grace compliant. Let it be that any time the Lord makes a demand, your body is ready, put, is already in a position not to rebel. Not in a position not to rebel. It's in a position not to rebel. It's in a position to obey the bidding of the Spirit. The bidding of the Spirit. That is how to labor. That is how to labor. That is how to train your spirit. That is how to train your spirit. And that is how to deactivate the powers of the flesh. Hey, Abatakana. Hey, Batwata. Shalabatea. 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 Aqua. 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 Eva. 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 Aya. Zola. Shala. Paloa. Elia. Kaboa. Alato. Elta. Pato. Akadu. Elepia. Sagato. Ato. Patan. Ethiopia. 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 Every believer has the responsibility to watch over his soul. Every believer, it is your own responsibility to watch over your soul. That's what the Bible says, that you should examine yourself and know. No one is going to do the examination. It is you that will do the examination. Job said, I've made covenant with my own eyes. I've made covenant. The soul will naturally not want to. It knows the will of God. It knows that you have been preached to. It knows that you have repented. It knows that you want to do the will of God. But it goes the other way. It's not flowing with you. It rebels against the will of God. It goes the other way around. Paul the Apostle, the things which I want to do, I don't find myself doing. And the things which I don't want to do, those are the things that I found myself doing. I find myself doing. This was the early stage of his ministry, struggling with the flesh. But later on, he found victory. He found a way around it. And he said, oh, now I beat my body. My body that has been rebelling, making me do what I ought not to do.
I have brought it. He has found a way of bringing it under subjection. How he found it is different from how you may find it, because scripture says that everyone should know how he handles his own vessel. That's what apostle is asking, how much time, how many times, or how long you'll be away from the home that you begin to miss your wife. In Cameroon, at the airport, after having stayed there for like 2 or 3 weeks, I was telling him that I just discovered that I'm missing my wife. If I'm around for 3 months, sometimes I don't even... There's no attraction, there's nothing. But as soon as I travel, I have 2-3 weeks, sometimes a month, I'll start feeling that. And when I come, she will be doing guy for me. So she thought that me, I'm like my Zion that does not move. Because if I'm around, there's no temptation. At the early stage of a marriage, I was thinking that when people are saying, talking about lust, married men talking about lust, I used to say, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. I'll be probably maybe not complain because I'm young in marriage. Maybe my wife is beautiful and still young and all of that. That's the reason why maybe I don't feel. But as soon as I step outside, particularly of this country, after 2-3, and the pressure will be, that's when I know that, oh, I thought I was a Superman. I thought I have overcome this thing with I have overcome it triumphantly. And the thing is still there. It's only looking for an opportunity to express itself. None of us is strong. It's only the grace that is helping us. And the grace helps you to the extent which you are compliant. The extent which you comply with the grace. You can receive it and frustrate it. God will wake you up in the morning. It's not automation. Prayer is not auto. God will not go. There's not a machine that will be running inside of you. Even if you don't want to pray, the machine will just be turning your mouth, to pray. No. You will be the one to open your mouth. Sometimes you have to go and bath. Sometimes I have to put my head inside water. Cold water. So I come out and drowsiness will leave me. And even then, the still drowsiness of the soul. Heaviness of the soul. And the soul is rebellious. If you don't put pressure on it, it cannot give way. So you have to pray sometimes for 3 hours before you begin to see the move of the Spirit. Sometimes you are there for 5 hours, 4 hours before you touch the Spirit. Sometimes in the daytime you come to pray, sleep. And you have to, you say, I will not sleep. And you keep on moving like that. At that time is not the time to go and lie down and say, let me just, no, there's not the time to. If lying down, it means that you are defeated already. It means you are defeated because lying down you will sleep. So it's to stand up. After a period of time, maybe 3, 4, 5 months, the soul would have been trained well enough to subject itself. So that when you wake up in the night, no matter how tired you are, once you speak in tongues for 30 minutes, heat comes to your body. You see the fire will just tear up. And nobody will know that. The people will be shocked that you came back tired and you are still able to pray the way you pray. And yes, there's seasons that you might be physically weak that you need to rest so that you can have strength to continue. But if it is something that is permanent, always sleeping, always struggling, it means that you have not paid attention to your soul to bring your soul under subjection so that the will of God will come to pass. The Holy Ghost is strong, but the soul is much, much stronger, let me say, than the Holy Ghost. The reason is because if you partnership with the soul, you will defeat the Holy Spirit. But when you yield to the Holy Ghost, as in resisting the soul, it will go down. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So one more time, in that area, can we receive grace? I don't know how Job made that covenant. I don't know how he made the covenant. But he said he made a covenant with his eyes that he will not behold iniquity. He will not see corruption. I don't know how he did it, but it worked for him. Your own may not be covenant. There's a way you go about it. There's a way that God will help you. There's a grace. There's a knowledge. There's a knowing. There's how he will help you. That you understand your vessel. And anytime you start iniquity, you start anything at all of eating food, it will die. It does not matter with time, it will die. If you refuse to look at pornography with time, your eyes will be trained not to look at it, what is good. If you train yourself, I can't tell how many, for many years, I can't tell how long, how many. I don't eat in the morning. My soul has already been trained. Anytime I'm having malaria and I have to eat in the morning, I have to wait sometimes till 12. If not, that day I will be dull because my system already is not used to that kind of. But it took time. It took time. This thing is not just preaching. It is not just praying. It's also practice. You have to practice it. You have to practice it to break out of it. You have to practice it to train yourself to be able to do it. Lord, I receive help. I receive help. I take that ability to do even as you have told me. To do even as you have said. To do even as you have told me. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth. Let the key at hand. Rato da do da do da do da do da do. Barati, 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 barati. Aita, tapa. Illetiga, tonati, ekete. Aita, la, sa, 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 sa,
Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Jesus' mighty name.